Welcome to Your Funeral Coach Talks, a bi-monthly podcast hosted by Lisa Bowie, founder of Your Funeral Coach, a consulting and mentoring company serving the funeral, cremation, and cemetery profession. Listen in today to the Caring for Yourself series as she interviews thought leaders and difference makers in her profession.
Welcome, everyone. I'm here today with Kristen Ernst, MA-LPC, lots of initials behind her name, but Kristen is the owner and the director for the Center for Hope and Healing in St. Charles, Missouri. She is a licensed counselor. She has her master's, and of course, she works in the area of grief and loss. She does virtual grief groups, has a wonderful grief support newsletter, remembrance programs for funeral homes around the country. And Kristen, you have done a lot of work for Bowie's, of course, and that's always been wonderful. Your holiday remembrance programs, your seeds of hope in the spring, just the way you help our staff has literally been amazing. I'd like to hear a little bit more about you for those listening audiences that are just hopping on, and this is their first time they've heard you do a podcast with us. So tell us a little bit more about Kristen. And welcome.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. So I am this owner, as you said, of the Center for Hope and Healing, which is a full service counseling service that we do see all kinds of grief, loss, trauma, anxiety, depression. And we have several counselors there as well. But I also have this heart because I worked for the Bowies and did so many programs for them to create aftercare programs for other funeral homes to help them meet people where they are in their grief. So I've been doing that and creating programs in other parts of the state and other states, and it's been a really great experience.
That's wonderful. And you also have some personal experience too. You got started in counseling. This is not your first career. I know you've done some work with hospice. You teach in the hospice areas. You've done some work with suicides and run a suicide support group now for Bowie's. And you are facilitating many, many support groups, both virtually and in person. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I started in hospice and then things have gravitated to more a lot of traumatic loss.
Right. They're probably seeing quite a bit of that now. Now, you've been a keynote speaker mm-hmm. and you've worked in Stephen Ministries. You've worked with the Share Infant Loss Organization. And that one's very near and dear to your heart, right? Tell us a little bit more about that, because I think it's what led you into counseling in the first place.
It did. So actually 18 years ago today, my son Aiden was born and then died later that week after a lot of complications. And so Share helped me a lot through that experience. And I had other counseling experiences that weren't that great. And so I decided to go back and get my master's. I worked in a volunteer capacity for a long time, but then went and got my master's so that I could be a clinician in grief and loss.
Thank you. Well, first, I'm so sorry about Aiden, and happy birthday in heaven.
Thank you.
To Aiden. What a special day.
Yeah.
This is being recorded,
exactly.
Actually, not produced, but it's being recorded on Friday, the 14th of January, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So it is Aiden's special 18th birthday, which is a wonderful
yes.
day, but not wonderful because Aiden's not here with you on this earth, but always in your heart. And
yeah.
I appreciate you sharing your story. I know that we served your family many, many years ago. And
mm-hmm.
that is
yeah.
something that led you to connect with funeral service as well in your counseling career. Well, today we're here to talk
yes.
a little bit more about some areas that you have knowledge in. You've spent a great deal of mm-hmm. time teaching our staff, teaching others that you counsel how to better care for themselves. And this time of year in January, February, March, I mean, this is the winter time when we need to be working on wellness. Mm-hmm. Everyone sets New Year's resolutions, right? And we don't have to go into all
mm-hmm.
of ours. Sometimes they come true, sometimes they don't. But we're seeing more and more people in our profession stressing out. And wellness is becoming a very big topic. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about wellness today with you, because this is an area of your expertise
yeah.
that you recommend for your clients. I know you've spent time with funeral directors talking to them about wellness and better taking care of themselves. Why do we need to have a wellness goal this year? Regardless of when anyone is listening to this podcast, doesn't matter what time of year it is, I think we all need wellness goals in our lives. Why is that important, Kristen? And what do you suggest we do? How do we go about setting wellness goals for ourselves?
Well, I think that part of the issue is that for many people, productivity equals self-worth. Oh. And so the busier we are, and the more we fit our schedule and jam pack it with things, the more we feel like we're important or better or doing good things for our families. And I implore people to kind of sit back from that and allow themselves to subscribe to a different philosophy of you don't have to be busy to feel good about yourself. And we're all, you know, as you know, funeral service is very, very busy right now.
It is. And this is a busy time that of year means for us in the winter.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And so it's just really important to put boundaries in place in other areas of your life so that you're not overextending yourself and getting so burnt out. I'm seeing that in healthcare, obviously, and in education and in funeral service. There's a lot of people that are just kind of pulling their hair out, honestly, Lisa, about how to move forward.
How to move forward and whether or not they stay in funeral service. So this may be a concern for our listening audience that perhaps if you're an owner or a manager, you're seeing some staff members who might be leaving your profession. We're hearing all about the great resignation. It's being talked about in business all over the world. The pandemic has possibly, and I know we're all pretty tired of hearing about the pandemic because it's right now as we're recording, it's still going on. And we're seeing people question whether or not they want to stay in the profession they're in. And in funeral service, because of the high stress levels, I think all of our concern is that maybe they're not going to stay. And we certainly can't afford to lose good people because there aren't as many coming in to our profession for us to hire. And so we're worried about that as employers. I know employers and managers are talking about it all the time. Where do I find good people? So I believe if you are setting wellness goals for yourself as an owner or a manager or a funeral director, you can lead by example. Maybe share those wellness goals with your fellow team members and say, share them with your family, obviously. But when you say we need to take care of ourselves better, we need to slow down, you're telling us to slow down. So this is great because we need this from you. What does that really mean? Let's look at the day in the life of a funeral director during the
logistics.
Week.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How do you find those little times in the middle of your busy day to breathe, to create the space where you can relax a little bit? That's really tough to do. Sometimes we're just grabbing a sandwich and eating out in the hearse, you know, while the funeral's going on and relaxing at lunch doesn't even happen.
Right. So I would say that the car for me is a very precious place. When I am driving from work to home, that's a place where I recharge. And it used to be that I recharged with a playlist or something that was relaxing. But honestly, for me now, with the way everything is in our world, I need silence. I need a place where I'm not talking to anyone for a little bit. I used to use that time to make phone calls and return people's phone calls. And I take that 20 minutes and I zone out and just kind of breathe and make sure that I'm taking care of self. It's my one time that I'm just driving and I'm paying attention to the road, which is always important. Right. I don't know about you, but how many times have you driven somewhere and then been like, I don't even really know how I got here?
You take the wrong turn.
Because you're thinking about other things.
My husband did that the other day.
Right.
So we were driving around and he took a left-hand turn. I go, where are you going, honey? And I think he was going to the old house where we used to live.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of making a right to go to our new villa, he went to the old house. It was hilarious. And he's like, oh, right. But your mind just kind of automatically goes there. So you like to get quiet in the car. We think, of course, maybe our listeners are listening to the podcast while they're in the car.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So don't turn it off. Stay tuned. Stay tuned with us because Kristen's going to teach us some more wellness goals. Well, I have in my notes a couple of other things. Mindfulness. There's a lot of talk about mindfulness in wellness goals. So if we set mm-hmm. in our wellness goal for the year, or we could have more than one wellness goal, right? Mm-hmm. We could have a mm-hmm. something about fitness and taking care of ourselves, maybe improving our things that we're eating. Let's talk about mindfulness mm-hmm. a little bit. One of my great teachers and a person I admire a great deal, which I know you do as well, is Dr. Alan Wolfelt at the Center for Loss in Fort Collins, Colorado. He talks about mindfulness. He has a little book that he puts out, which is 365 Days of Meditations, I think, for wellness. Tell, mm-hmm. can you open up today? I just want to see what it says.
Yeah, I think of course.
That would be interesting. Yes. I read mine every day, and this morning I did not. Bad Lisa. Bad Lisa.
So
Kristen read hers, right? Read it out loud.
Of course I did. Yeah, of course. All right. Yes. So presence is rare and powerful, all right. Actually, it's a synonym for living mindfully. So this entire book is about presence and all the ways that practicing it can make life richer for you and everyone around you. When someone you care about has experienced a significant loss or is going through a rough patch, the very best way you can help them is by simply being there. You don't have to say the right thing or even anything at all. You don't have to do anything in particular. You just have to show up, stick around, and be willing to pay attention to them and actively listen if they want to talk. You see, we need each other, especially when we're all suffering. We need love and compassion. We need the presence of those who care about us. You can be that presence for someone, and in doing so, transform hurt into healing. That's and as wonderful. You know, Lisa, there's so many people that are hurting. They're hurting, and we have to show up for people.
They do, and they are. And that's what we're doing in funeral service. So we're showing up to care mm-hmm. for the families. But who's showing up to care for mm-hmm. us? So I'm kind of a believer that you have to reach out and let people know that you're going through a tough time. Don't stuff that. Mm-hmm. If you're in the office and you're having a rough day, tell your team members, it's okay. Tell your manager, tell your owner, I'm going through a rough day. If you're the owner, if you're the manager, share it with your employees. They aren't going to think you're weak. They're going to appreciate right. the fact that you're struggling a little bit today. Like Kristen, if you were to walk in and do a training for the staff today, or you're talking to one of your funeral homes and you're getting ready to do a virtual grief group maybe for them, would you share with them, mm-hmm. "Hey, I'm a little off today. This is my son Aiden's 18th birthday in heaven. I lost him mm-hmm. when he was an infant. He died when he was an infant. I'm sad today. And I just want to share that and be totally honest with you and out there with my feelings."
Brene Brown talks about how being vulnerable is actually very courageous. And so that is something that I implore leaders and just people in general to show vulnerability in a safe place. You have to make sure that you build that support system. We talk about all the time how you have a family of origin, which is your family that you were born into. And then you have a family of choice. And I don't know about you, Lisa, but when I was working for the Bowies, that became a family of choice. That was very much a family that you could relate to and talk to. And we spent a lot of time together. So you could be vulnerable in that place because it was a safe place to do so.
Right, right.
So people have to find that safe place.
They do. So if you can't find it at work and you don't feel it's there, find it outside mm-hmm. of work. I was always raised to choose my friends outside of work. Not have my friendships inside of work. And I'm not sure that that was the best thing to do because I think you want to get along with everyone. And if have a buddy, maybe you have a partner mm-hmm. at the office, you know, that you can just vent with mm-hmm. someone you trust that will keep it to themselves. Have a place to go with that. Owners don't have a lot of places to go with that, by the way, unless they have fellow owners that they can pick up the phone and just say, hey,
that's...
Are you finding that as a as
yeah? That's a really good
businesswoman, right?
I think that's really important because not anyone is really, even as a therapist, people aren't going to understand the business owning part. A lot of people don't understand that part, so it's good it's very important to network in those ways so that you can lean on each other and say, hey, what are you doing about this new law that they just put into place? And I've joined forums that I can talk to on social media about questions. And that underneath that, there's been a network of people that if I'm having a day, I can go to them and say, what do you do about this client? Or what do you do about this person or this family? That's a really important part of caring for self, because we have to have people will talk about codependency, and codependency isn't a healthy thing to do, but interdependency, we're mammals, we're herders, we need each other. And so it's important to be interdependent on each other.
Right. So being interdependent is good, and being present for someone. So we need to ask, I'm thinking, this is a Caring for Ourselves podcast. I think we need to be a little proactive in our wellness goals this year, if we're going to be more mindful of how we're feeling about our own stress levels, is to reach out and ask someone to be present with us. I need you to be present with me right now. I need to vent. That's okay to do, right? That's okay to do in the workplace if you have a trusted team member.
Yeah. And the other part too is to just kind of in that same vein of talking about slowing down. When you are practicing 20 minutes of mindfulness a day, I've talked about this before, it actually calms down the amygdala, where the fear center of the brain is. So it calms our anxiety. So mindfulness is a real helpful tool to maybe we don't sweat the small stuff as much, because we're doing our part in the mindfulness part to be like, you know, the thing that would normally bother me doesn't bother me because I've done my part. I've done this work, this inner work, before I come to work or after I leave work, whatever that looks like.
That's great. That's great. That's important to have that. So do it in your car if you don't have a place at work to do it. I know I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. We put in some break rooms, not a break room where you sit around and eat lunch. We have two small, very quiet rooms, we call them, so that you can put on a headset, you can listen to some music, you can listen to a little water feature that's in there if you like. And it has a relaxed chair that's kind of a massage chair. You can put the kickstand up and take a 15 to 20 minute wellness break. Now, if employers are listening to this, they're probably going, are you kidding me? You're going to take a nap? Is it a nap room? You're going to let your employees take a nap? My goodness, I think we are in an era with the pandemic, with wellness being so high, with stress being so high, with the great resignation being so high that we are losing employees. If we don't find ways to help ourselves and to help our staff with things like a quiet room where they can make a reservation and they can, you know, appointment or just fit it in. I mean, if you've got 10 minutes in between families, just go in there, get quiet, take some deep breaths, relax, drink some great water or protein, drink something that helps you. And if you need to close your eyes, turn on some nice music you'll enjoy, close your eyes and set your timer and take a little nap. I think naps are good, right? For a wellness goal for ourselves.
Yeah. Unplugging. I think it's important to unplug, whether that, you know, so many times we've gotten used to the scroll, right? Whether it's whatever social media platform, we think that that's relaxing, but it actually creates a lot of anxiousness. Stay off your phone. I think that the other part of this, Lisa, is most of the people that I know that are in funeral service are there for a reason, because somehow funeral service impacted their lives, right? So, and it's something that they want to do. They want to create that same meaning for other people that it meant to them. And so if that's the case, there are times that you'll have families that remind you of why you went into funeral service and are very triggering or traumatizing, can be very hard. And so those are the times that the mindfulness room and the restful room is so helpful, because how many times have you served a family and then they walk out and you've done your job and then you're like, I need a minute.
Yes, many times. And because you relate them to, somehow you relate to your own loss, it takes you backwards a little bit. Yeah, you know, my dad died when I was 30. He was 53. And whenever I serve a family that has a young loss, a young death like that, and I'm sitting across the table from a 30-year-old-ish, and their father was in their 50s. You sometimes go backwards. I mean, you cannot let that show. You really do have to, pardon my language, but you have to suck it up and you have to put it inside of you, and because you're there to help take care of them. Mm-hmm. This is not about you. You don't get to share your story with them. Mm-mm. That's not appropriate, right?
Right.
But you do have to find a way to serve them well, because you can understand, you can empathize with them because you have walked in those shoes in a certain way.
Right.
So after that arrangements, go do something for yourself. Is that what that's what you're saying? Go have 10 minutes. Yeah. Go take a walk. Go to a restful room, a quiet place. Go sit in your car.
Reflect. Mm-hmm. There's reflect one on thing that hospice, I think, has done really well is that a lot of people are impacted by hospice in a positive light. They feel like, oh, wow, those were amazing services. And I'm really thankful that my loved one had that at the end of their life. I'm going to volunteer. And there in hospice, you're not allowed. There's an actual policy that doesn't allow anyone to volunteer for 12 months after their loved one has died, because they want you to take care of self, because otherwise you're going to go volunteer and spill out all your stuff all over everyone else.
Right. Yes. We don't talk about our own losses with families we're serving. So that's a rule. But we have to talk to somebody about it, even if it's the guy upstairs, you know, a friend. Just talk out, speak out loud, journal.
Right.
Journaling is good.
Journaling for wellness. Is a great, journaling write is down a great your way to kind thoughts. Of, yeah. And also in your own grief journey, I will tell you that I have looked at my grief over the years of that I've had, and it's very different. It doesn't get easier, quote unquote, but it does get different. And that's encouraging to look at that and see that. So sometimes journaling can also be a marker as to, you know, where you are in that journey.
Very good. Very good. Great advice. One of my notes says attunement to self. So this is about knowing yourself and being in tune with what's going on inside of you. Are you having headaches? Are your shoulders tight and tense? Are you irritable? So this is part of being a good leader of yourself. Right. You don't have to be in management or ownership to be a good leader and a good leader of yourself. So being in tune, can you talk a little bit more about that? What does that mean? And how do you recommend we pay more attention to how we're feeling?
This is all in that same thread of slowing down and listening. Right. Because even active listening, when we're listening to someone else, if we're on our phones and we're writing and we've got all this stuff, all these distractions, we're in the age of distraction. Somebody doesn't feel heard if we're have all that stuff going on, right? Like if we were sitting in a meeting, we had all that, it would be distracting and we don't feel like someone's listening to us. But that goes for us too. Right. It's hard to listen to ourselves if we have all these, if we, you know, binge Netflix, or if we are, you know, everybody's got a show, and I understand it can be relaxing, but if we're filling our life with stuff, it's really hard to listen. And so part of this is creating a discipline of understanding, like, you know, when my heart hurts, or when, you know, like you said, when I have shoulder pain, or when, okay, what do I need to do to help that? Or even so many times we emotionally eat, or we eat just to kind of fill that void. And part of that is slowing down and listening.
We snack.
Right.
Little snacks. We have to eat healthier snacks. Because the next thing on our agenda is to talk about diet.
Food.
Oh, gosh. New Year's resolutions and diets. Whew.
Yeah.
So how important is what we eat in our daily routine and our weekly routine? Because everyone wants to set a wellness goal of diet for the new year. It's pretty typical. We get it through January, February. Now we're into March. How we doing? We're pretty good for a quarter.
Yeah, I really
90 days, right? We can do this for 90 days. Yeah. Then what happens? April comes and it's like April.
And then it falls off.
It falls off. So how do we remain disciplined?
I think it's hard. I try and have clients step away from diet culture, because that's not a lifestyle change. That is trying to get an end result that's maybe not necessarily attainable. So part of something that I refer clients to all the time is intuitive eating, listening to your body and knowing what it needs. If you're having, you know, obviously if we drink all kinds of Diet Coke or all kinds of, you know, caffeine, then we're, if we don't drink it, we're going to have a headache. So kind of paying attention to maybe what you need to eliminate, not necessarily to change your body, but to do what's best for it. You know, something like broccoli is good brain food. It keep, it helps you extend your concentration, and it helps all kinds of, it helps all kinds of things. But
I am careful. I love broccoli. Yeah. If you don't like broccoli, what do you do about that? I taught my kids to eat vegetables.
There's so many.
By dipping them in ranch dressing. And so guess what now? Mm-hmm. They won't eat their vegetables at all as adults without the ranch dressing.
Without the ranch. That's hilarious.
It's
there's so
funny.
Many. Yeah. There's so many good things out there that are good for us. And we all, you know, a lot of us do like sweets, and that's okay to have. It's all about moderation and paying attention to what your body needs. Versus just kind of, you know, we just kind of, we're eating our, you know, scrolling our phone and eating chips and replying to emails and all, before we know it, like, we're not listening to ourselves anymore.
Right. We're eating fast snacks, right? I know as a funeral director, I mean, I can't tell you how many lunches I've had, you know, out in the hearse that I'm trying to make sure nobody's watching me and I'm just trying to get something in me. So, right. Yeah. They do say that if you eat smaller amounts of food more frequently, that that can help your energy levels. So those are good things, I think, to put in your wellness goals for the year. You know, bring along some celery or carrots or broccoli or whatever you enjoy that's healthy. Healthier.
Yeah.
I like the healthier.
Yeah. Healthier choices.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good. Okay. So on our checklist, again, is another thing called mindful movement. So this is exercise, right? This is okay. So how is mindful movement different than setting exercise goals?
So this is in that exercise can be a lot of times is based on results. So if we don't see results, then we quit. And so mindful movement is more about recognizing that your body needs certain things. We do need we do need movement. We do need to not be sedentary. And so just getting out and taking a walk, even in this, you know, there's a benefit to right now it's pretty chilly, and to go out and take a brisk walk in the cold air will not only help your body, but it helps your mind. It can help a reset if you're super stressed. That change in temperature can reset your central nervous system. If you are really have a, say you had a really stressful visitation, that's something that's really helpful to do after something like that. So the mindful movement is just another way of reframing, because what happens, you know, if we don't get the results we want, then we stop doing it. And then where are we? You know, it's better to do something a little bit and do something that you know that is good for you versus being so results based.
Gotcha. So even though walking to the cemetery with a widow does not count. So take a separate walk by yourself.
Yeah.
Get out there, bring I know staff will bring tennis shoes to work. I think that's great. Everybody has their tennis shoes, and they'll just take a walk around the block. Especially maybe after you eat something after lunch, whatever, get a break in your day. I kind of, you know, people have different times of day when they have high energy and low energy. I know mine, low energy is right around between 2 and 3 o'clock. I'll sometimes look over at my husband, and by three, he's sonsies, if not earlier. Right. So he's taking his nap. And
that's
for
the other
others,
thing is if you drink coffee, if you drink coffee, then at 3 o'clock, you're going to have kind of like that. So I've seen a lot of people kind of eliminate coffee and go to something like tea or,
I'm an iced tea girl. Love my iced tea. Oh, hot lemon water. That's always good.
Yeah.
I love hot lemon water with honey. Can I add a little honey?
Yeah.
A little, okay. Not too much sugar. All right. And the last one is setting boundaries. So this means, kind of making sure others don't sidetrack us or try to tell us what to do. We have to know ourselves. Can you explain that a little bit further, please, as far as in our wellness goals, setting boundaries?
I think that it's really important to understand that there are people that aren't necessarily intentionally doing this, but they suck the energy out of us. And So it is good to know who those people are, whether they're friends or family or coworkers. You know, sometimes people just have negative energy, and they can go see a therapist about that. But it's an interpersonal. There's an interpersonal boundary that can be made to maybe not necessarily befriend that person or feel like you're responsible for caretaking that person. So that's an interpersonal boundary, because you know, when you do feel like you can't say no, so much of this is just being able to say no and knowing that no is a complete sentence. Somebody asks you to do the, when somebody asks you to do the bake off or, you know, volunteer for the PTO and things are really stressful at work, that you're able to say no. And you don't have to say no because whatever that is. It's okay to just say no. So getting comfortable with that, practicing that with people that are easy and understanding first, and then moving on to other people that aren't so understanding, is I implore people to try that.
So no is a complete sentence.
But the boundary thing is so important.
I love that quote. No is a complete sentence. Yeah. We don't do a great job of that.
It is.
Caregivers.
Yeah.
We're always wanting to take care of everybody else.
Well, and we just feel like we have to, That's part of our identity, is to care for people,
right?
You know, but it doesn't mean that we have to eternally give and give and give to where we don't have anything left to give.
Gotcha. And if our environment is negative, try to push ourselves away from that, or don't take it in personally. Try to stay away from all the negativity if we can. Try to keep positive mind, and those that are. Mm-hmm. Like we feel are dragging us down, we need to have some distance there. That's what you're saying?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So everyone has a coworker that's a gossiper, right? So trying to not engage in the gossip, because it just does bring everybody down. So either walking away from that or changing the subject is a really good way of creating a boundary that you're not going to participate in that.
That's really great. That's a hard one, because people like to talk about others. And there was this rule that we used to have, and I think it's a good rule just to have in life, is to not speak negatively about those that are not there to defend themselves. Right? Mm-hmm. So telling someone else's story is really, right? Yeah. It's a good boundary. Great, Kristen. Well, thank you so much for giving us some ideas about setting up some wellness things we can do for ourselves, as well as those that we work in and around, and in our family on top of it. I love these. Mm-hmm. So let's go back over them again. We talked a little bit about being present with others, and that's important. Dr. Wolfelt talked about it today in his little 365 book, but mindfulness is important. So in your wellness goals, be sure you have something for mindfulness. Be sure you have something that is in attunement to yourself, and add something in there for your diet. Just kind of take a look at it, see how you can improve it. Watch the caffeine. I heard that clearly. Go find some broccoli or something else you like. Great. And have some mindful movement that's not necessarily about heavy exercise and really hitting it hard, although many of us need that. We need to get our cardio up. I'm thinking they're saying 30 minutes of cardio three times a day, or is it now like an hour of cardio three times a week? And so mindful movement's important. Take a walk, get away. Walking to the cemetery back and forth, carrying flowers back and forth up and down the stairs. That does not count funeral directors. It does not count cemeterians digging a grave by hand. That might count. That's a lot of movement. Boundaries, and set them, right? Set those boundaries and make sure that you are not around a lot of negativity all the time. It's hard enough being in funeral service with death and loss. You add to that a negative work environment. It's tough. Reassess. Call Kristen. If you need to just talk to somebody. You've done some great work with funeral directors. You've done some training with them.
Thank you.
I so appreciate you. Thank you for being with us here today. And if our listening audience needs to get a hold of you, of course, they can go to yourfuneralcoach.com, because you're one of our collaborative network partners. See all about Kristen, connect with her on her website, email, and so forth. You're a busy lady as a counselor, but you'll always make time, I know, for funeral service. tell us your contact information real quick, Kristen, and then we'll sign off and say goodbye.
So you can go to hopeandhealingcounseling.com, or you can call our office at 636-328-0878. The best way, you can email me from the website. So I hope to hear from you.
That's terrific. Well, we hope everyone will consider talking to Kristen in the future. She's amazing. She does some great virtual grief groups. Thanks. For funeral homes, but she also really does a great job in supporting staff, because we need to work on supporting ourselves better, more often in this new year, mm-hmm. so that we can better support others as caregivers. We appreciate you, Kristen. Thanks again for being with us. And thank you, everyone,
thank
for
you,
listening.
Thank you, Lisa, for bringing awareness. Yeah, thank you.
Terrific. Everyone, have a great day.
We hope you enjoyed today's Your Funeral Coach podcast and will join Lisa Bowie and her guests again soon. Let us know if there are any topics you would like to hear more about. For more information on future shows, please go to yourfuneralcoach.com. If you enjoyed the show, consider giving us a 5-star review. Thank you.